morning. Y'all just leave it alone, let it be.
So you still sick?
Don't let it.
Turn that off, go quit clicking.
Pull it up. No, he's better, a lot better.
You can rotate it every now and then.
No, excuse me while I take my vitamins.
I tried my best to get sick.
I forgot to take my vitamins. Vitamin C, vitamin C, coconut oil, salt palmetto, vitamin C, what is that, flaxseed oil.
You're getting old, you need magnesium. And zinc.
Well, I don't need it yet, then.
Maybe sprouts, you need red.
Anything else you need today? No.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry. Let's have a little glucose one. For the joint.
Oh, there you go, you get up. Your joints.
Freedom, you and I are the same age.
I know I'm getting up.
Okay, all right. So now let's get, we're a little skimpy today, but that's okay. All right, Romans 8. We started Romans 8, 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Paul says, walk not after the flesh. We have to walk in the flesh because we are flesh. All right. But yielding, because you got to put some scripture together where Paul says, yielding your members. The things I would not do. Now, it wasn't that Paul was a drunk, and then now he's a drunk again, and then he drinks everyone. You know, you understand there's some things, though, that he does in his flesh that he doesn't like. There's all things we do in our flesh we don't like.
Right.
Right? There are things in our, but it's not our flesh that does it.
Right.
It's the spirit realm that's what does it. It's that motivator that's what does it. So don't get hung up where he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You go into the indwelling man. Bible study was good last night. We had a good time. It was,
yes, it was.
It was, we had a pretty good crowd, even though the other crowd wasn't here. We had a pretty good crowd. But you walk after the Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit inside your soul. That's not a spirit realm like the memory and constant effects of imagination. Because we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now listen, we all mind the things of the flesh. We got up this morning, we had to eat, we had to drink, we had to go to the bathroom. You understand what I'm saying? So Paul's not saying that. He's not saying for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. So we just, we've seen the doctrines of sinless perfection and like Frida was talking about trying to stop aging, you know, you just can't do that. But we do walk in the flesh, but what does, in our flesh, there's what? Something warring. There's the spirit and the soul, man, warring with each other. Right? So that's where that is. Because look, he brings it all to where it's at. For to be carnally, in other words, he didn't say for to be fleshly minded. No, to be carnally minded is death. Because the carnal mind is enmity. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity is division, separation. Because that's what separated Adam from God, is when the first thing Adam said, we'll talk about it upstairs this afternoon. We touched on it last night about Satan had to enter Eve's womb up here first. This is the most important womb. The act that happened afterwards was in the flesh, but she had to accept it in her spirit realm, not her soul. That's where you go. And not in her soul. She was eternal in soul. Because she had that theophany of that Genesis 1:26 man inside of her. But that middle realm, memory, reason, conscious, faith, and imagination, Satan knew he could get to that. And that's what he played on. He didn't play on her flesh.
Right.
He got to her, what? The womb of her mind. The womb of her mind is the first thing Satan touched.
Right.
Same thing with you and I, the womb of our mind is the first thing that Satan touches.
That's right.
Right? All right? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You say, oh man, what in the world's going on here? It's not subject to the law of God. The law of God has nothing to do with your brain as a gray matter. It's what's in there. Okay? It's what's in there that motivates that. I was thinking last night we were talking about Revelation and Peter and James and all them that were walked with Jesus, you know, and then they come to the faith of the fathers, that the Holy Ghost quickened what they held. Now, the Holy Ghost quickened something in Peter, maybe they didn't quicken in James. We're still individuals. We're all individuals in the body of Christ. I can't say because Bob came in the message 2 years after I did, he's 2 years behind me. There's no such thing. No such thing. Why? Because God doesn't work that way. God can work in just a few hours what man's tried to work in a long time. Even Brother Branham told us, you know, he said God will do in 1 year what theologists has tried to do in 2,000. All right, so and that's what he's doing now. I think he's causing us to, number one, understand what we're doing here, who we are, and what we're doing here. And that the evil thoughts we have in our mind, did not come from the inward man, the deep man. It came from that law of the carnal mind, that when Adam said, I was afraid. Now, fear had never entered into Adam before. Now remember, he was the son of God, so he has no fear in his soul. You have no fear in your soul if you're born again. If you're not born again, it is fear. Period. It's fear. Alright? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Alright, so it cannot be subject to the law of God. It's enmity. It is totally contrary. Like I said before, we must realize we are contrary to God when we go to sleep, eat, get up, do the things of life. That's totally contrary to God. God didn't want us to be this way. Not this way right here. No way. He did not want us to come this way. But we did, so we must accept that and then let him work through it. That's what Paul's telling us. He said, look, to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Watch. So then they are that in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, all the fleshly things that we did, motivated by the Spirit, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if. Big word, if. So be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's what we're talking about last night with the adoption and all those. Excuse me. Vitamins are coming up.
Yeah.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, look, the body is dead because of sin. We must realize that. We must realize that. Your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. We're dying. So Paul's being real plain here. He says, look, if you're in the flesh, you're dying. But the Spirit of life is life because of righteousness. Because what? This is his whole summation right here. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, Jesus was dead, the body was dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, let me get this up here, let me see it, shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now he's coming down, he's talking about flesh up here. Flesh, 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 flesh. Flesh, flesh. Watch right here. Mortal body. That's not what he was talking about up there at the top. Sure, he was talking about your mortal body, but he was talking about something working through your mortal body. This is telling you right here that if you have that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, now what happened when that Spirit come back into Jesus' body? He quickened it and made it eternal. Right? We're going to see some maybe this afternoon, maybe next Sunday. There's one thing Jesus took with him that he didn't send back on the day of Pentecost. One thing. Everything else he sent back.
His flesh?
He did not send back the glorified body. He did not send back the body change. He sent us the ability. But he did not send us the body change back with him on the day of Pentecost because they didn't have a body change. He sent the Son of God, the Spirit God, to burn their soul out, put his soul in, and then live a Christian life. That's not what's going to happen to me and you. Unless you pass on and we put you in the grave. We're going to have to come to a place to where that same Jesus is now here. And in your body, the Son of Man, which is God in human flesh, that's what we have at the end time. Paul didn't even see that. He saw it coming. He knew that, because right here he's telling you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Now, he never saw that. He's actually waiting in the sixth dimension for that to happen.
Right. Right.
Mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, do away, or like we were talking about, you know, getting rid of those things. Dead. We'll read some scripture tonight, or this afternoon, and read some quotes that Brother Brown was talking about being dead, because we're still on four still, which is called death. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now see, you didn't. That's what you live under. I guess Brother Ryan's upstairs, but he sent me a...
He's in there.
That's right. Boy's not going to be here. He sent me a message about that, and let me read it. I think it's pretty profound how that little boy's come along. How that little boy's come along with all them kids running around him. He wrote, simply profound. Brother Wade, I've really been enjoying your Sunday school series on the Book of Romans. One particular comment you made Sunday struck me very profound. I downloaded the audio, but have not went back to listen. I'm trying to get to it. You said something about the reason we fear is because we don't know what will happen in our situations. I thought about that, and that is exactly true. The whole reason I was so fearful about Iva when she was so close to dying is simply because I did not know that she was going to live. I specifically remember thinking that if the Lord would just give me some thought or scripture or quote, just some kind of comfort or consolation that she was going to be okay, that she would not die, I would have not been afraid no matter how bad she got. The only thing the Lord kept telling me to do is not fear regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
In every situation of life in which I was afraid, it was because I did not know what the outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the Bible give us this to say fear not. He's telling us exactly what to not fear.
Yes.
Okay? He knows every single situation. I'm sorry. That is what comforts me so much about knowing the Lord, is that He knows every single situation that we're facing or will face, and He knows exactly the outcome. For that, there can be no fear in Him and should not be in us. Thank you so much for your labor. But that's true.
Yes.
That's the reason we fear. But if we have come to a place where the seals are open, to where all the mysteries are open, that we know where we came from, what we're doing here, where we're going, where's the fear in that?
Right.
Where's the fear in that, where you go, well, I don't know where we're going. Yeah, we have a prophet come tell us where we're going.
That's right.
Went there, come back, told us about it. Told us how sublime and how wonderful it is, even if you pass away.
Right.
But then there's another level that one's not going to pass away. He told us about that too. So we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, that's what Satan wants to do, and that's what he does in the spirit realm. He keeps giving you the negative.
Right.
He keeps giving you the negative of what's going, you know, the negative part of what's, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Just tell him that maybe he can.
Yeah.
But if I got the spirit of one that raised up Jesus from the dead, he's going to carry me through the whole thing.
Yes.
But see, that's what takes the fear out of the way, is if you know where you came from, we know what happened, we know that we were predestinated, we know that before the foundation of the world, God knew we'd come to this place, wrote the Bible, and now we got it right here to read. Through different men, telling us what happened. Like I was saying last night, I was thinking this week, God give us this great big love letter. And to read it on the surface, it is really nice. But we had a prophet coming, Eliezer, that told us so much about Isaac.
That's right.
That when we saw, that when Rebecca saw Isaac, she didn't need a sheet of paper.
Right.
Right? She didn't need a checklist. Well, is he? Now he says he was, and he no. Yeah. She lit off that camel, and there was probably hundreds of people in that field, and there was Isaac. Eliezer had told her so much about him. Now Eliezer didn't run over and get in the middle of him either.
That's right. Yeah.
Freeze the crowd. Eliezer didn't go in the tent with him either, right?
Right.
But he did his job. He told her what he looked like, what his character was, and what he would do. Because he told her the whole thing. He told her everything.
Right.
Right? And then she did something. Remember, she did something to single herself out. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But she absolutely, we have absolutely, now remember, now listen to this. So you put that into our situation. Rebecca, once Eliezer told so much about Isaac to Rebecca, do you think she was afraid? Well, I wonder what he's going to, no. She jumped off that camel. And she said, Eliezer has told me so much about you. I feel like I've known you forever. Well, that's the same way with God. We were lost, we know that. But we were always in the mind of God. Always in the mind of God. Right? What do? We come down here to develop the picture. That's what the prophet said. We come down here to develop the picture. Prove to Satan that God's true. That he knew us before the foundation of the world. Knew we'd be here and know where we're going. So where is the fear? The fear that we have is like we were talking the other week. Is we don't know the outcome of things. That's the only thing makes fear, is we just don't know the outcome of things. But when you hone it down to a Christian life, we do know the outcome. We just have got to believe what the outcome already is. Because Eliezer didn't write a new chapter about Isaac.
Right.
He told her what he already knew about Isaac. Okay? He didn't write a whole... So Brother Brown didn't come to write a book. To write a Bible. But he did write 1,100 commentaries of what Isaac meant to him and means to us. Okay? So that's the way it is, the way I read it, and the way you should read it, is the love letter part. Even in the Old Testament. I've been reading in Ezekiel. Man, go back and read Ezekiel again. Ezekiel is just full of little nuggets that mean something to us. You know? You see, I see the Old Testament. They were given for our example.
Right.
Isaiah, Ezekiel, some of those like that. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. How in the world can you be born again and be in bondage? Now, the only bondage we're in is step back out to the next cubicle, we were talking about last night, to the next box, the memory, reason, conscious. That's where the fear is. There's no fear in your new birth. Okay, there's no fear in God. And if God's in your soul, there's no fear there. So where's the fear? The fear is in that filter in between Satan out here talking to you and God in here talking to you. Okay? There's where the fear is. For we have not received the spirit, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Now that's what we were talking about last night. We received the spirit of adoption. Now we're not adopted totally, given the key, given the checkbook when we're first born again. No. We're a new spirit babe in Christ. A baby. Right? And we then what? Grow up. But look, you gotta be adopted into the family. Remember, I read that, and I'll pull it back up, and we'll run it off. Where the commentator, this is not anybody in the message, this is just a commentator from, or comments from a man that wrote a article about adoption. Because adoption was not to Israel. Israel never, Israel adopted this from the Greeks and the Romans. But what I read last night, which is really profound, the guy said, you come into the family, if you're born into the, you know, you didn't know, well, you might know Zach was a boy. But basically what he said, you get what you get. Mm-hmm. When you have a baby, you get what you get.
Right.
But when you adopt somebody, you already know their character, you know what's coming, you know what those people are. So even in Roman times, they could do away or disown their own children for being disobedient, but they couldn't disown the adopted child. Because they knew what they were getting when they adopted them. And man, that's the same way with God. He knew what he was getting. That is good. And that just came from a nominal guy that, I'll pull the article up and on a PDF and let you read. I'll pass it out. But the guy had a good deep revelation, more than some preachers in the message have about adoption. But you receive the spirit of adoption. Anybody that's born again is just like it said. You were in another family.
Yeah.
Family of the devil.
Right.
You were in another family. You were adopted from that family into this family.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
And he can't take send you back to that family.
That's right.
Once he adopts you into this family. Mm-hmm. Now, he can have disobedient children that don't make it to adoption, but he can't disown the ones he adopts. So we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, and that word would be daddy, daddy, or father, father. All right? And only babies cry. That's why Brother Adam called them Pentecostal babbling babies, because they cry all the time. Babies cry. But when you grow up, we may cry because of our kids, but and God may cry because of the kids. Because remember all them in the Old Testament, he said, "Boy, I just repent from making mankind." Yeah. Remember the Bible says that? He said, I just really repent from making man.
Right.
What about God repenting? But that's what the Bible says. Right. We know it's not exactly the way it is with us, but he didn't do anything wrong. He just, you know what? I guess he knew what was coming. But when it happened, he's like, it happened.
Right.
They really did
what I saw. I can't believe that. I can't believe they did what I said.
I told them not to do that.
And I saw them do it.
Yeah.
But it still surprised him, I guess. It didn't surprise him, but he just got aggravated with man.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're going to figure out one day that God's just more of a human than we ever have been. I mean, his emotions and all. He's not a God with no emotion. He's not a God with no laughter. He's not a God with no, you don't just sit up around a throne, you know, and look like a statue.
Right.
No, he has emotion. I repented from making man. I was angry. My anger was kindled, he said.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And Jesus platted a rope and drove some people out of the temple. If we did that, then kick us out of the mess. But it needs to be done. All right, so we've received the spirit of adoption, not adoption, so we haven't given the car keys to the kid. Okay?
Right.
We've been through this. Brother Dale's preached this, and I've preached it for years and years and years. Three stages of adoption.
Right.
You gotta have the new birth to even be considered an adoption.
Yes.
So you receive the spirit of adoption, because like Brother Dale said, a wonderful quote, Brother Keith Reed uses it all the time. God will not adopt the devil's kids. So he won't adopt the devil's children. And it's not that he don't care about them, it's that they don't care about him.
Right.
I mean, God's compassionate, he cares about everybody, but he knows. And see, that's one thing that frustrates me. If I was God, come down here and die for the whole world, but I know there's only a certain group that's gonna exactly accept what I did.
Yeah.
All the other billions are just here for walking around, you know, like Brother Ram said, cannon fodder. I would hate that. That would be something I would, but that's another thing we're God to go. They're doing it anyway. You know? The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if you have the spirit of adoption, if you're born again, you're the children of God. Now, you may be like the brother Ramsey that went and served God all them years, and what happened to Brother Ramsey is he got an evil spirit on his spirit. Now, that happens to all of us. Some of it's drinking. You name your demon, okay? You know, name your demon.
Vice.
Yeah, all of us, name your demon. That's what this is for. This is to get rid of that.
Yes.
Okay? But that Brother Ramsey, a born-again Christian preacher, gets the spirit on him, goes and drinks beer, says, I'm finished, I'm done. But you know what God did? God brought him home. Well, he was a disobedient child. If he was a mature Christian in the stature of a perfect man, he wouldn't be doing that. But being an immature Christian, he was still a Christian. Brother Brown said, God took him home to not mar his name. So he's going to do the same thing with anybody. Is a spirit can get on you. I promise you.
Yes, it can.
I promise you.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you're in for a surprise.
Ask me how I know.
Yeah, I know. That's the same one here. Ask me how I know. Because you know what? The very demon that tells you every day that you're not a Christian, where's it at? It's in your spirit realm.
Yeah.
It's not in your soul. If you're born again,
right.
It's a lie.
Right.
But when it comes out here, he makes it sound so good. Well, you did this. You know, he goes listing things. He's a good, Satan's a good lister, you know.
And he don't lie. I mean, he's telling the truth.
No, he's telling the truth. But the truth that he's telling is the lie.
It's the lie.
Okay? Because look, what sins are you talking about? And God's standing over here and he's accusing us and God's going, what are you talking about? Because remember, I don't know that it's so much the devil brings things up, but we bring it up.
Right.
We have our own self. Sure, the devil, you know what will happen? This is what will happen, like with that Brother Ramsey. I think I'll go this way since I feel led to go this way. He probably didn't say, well, now I'm just going to go out and drink beer. I'm done. I'm finished. No, he probably sat down one day and said, you know what? Them people in my church, kind of like the old joke, you know, the wife says, honey, you need to get up and come go to church today. He says, I ain't going to church. A bunch of hypocrites and liars. And she said, honey, you've got to get up and go to church. He said, no, I don't have to get up and go to church. She said, yes, you do. You're the pastor. So maybe that was, he sat down one day and was just going, that's Frieda Robin. She just, you know what? That opens the door. And then you what? You let it fester and you let it go and you let it roll. And then finally, you know what he says? He says, phooey, I'm done with it. I'm just going to get drunk and forget about it. You know, try to drown my sorrows. Well, that's what he did, guys. I mean, that's just exactly what he did. I don't think he just one day was preaching in the pulpit and next Monday morning he goes and says, well, I think I'll have a beer. No, it was an ongoing something that carried on maybe months. But once he decided to do that, God said, well, you can't do that and be a child. You got to come on home. So that's what Brother Brown said. But thank God for a prophet to tell us. Because if we were looking at it, come on, people, if we were looking at it from the outside, we would say, that man's lost.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? But Brother Brown said, no, he was a son of God. He was a child of God, put it that way. So we must be careful. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right, so we're born again in the family. We're children of God. We are in the line of adoption now. All right, because we're not the devil's kids anymore. God has adopted us. And we'll talk about this afternoon. We're the old, and what got me yesterday was Anna talking about even in natural adoption, the two that she's adopted, they have all new birth certificates.
Right.
Just like Anna birthed them in Bogard.
Yes.
their total whole back life is gone. If you pull their birth certificate, they were born to Anna Roberts and Richard Roberts at this hospital at this time.
Yeah.
I told Anna, I said, you've been busy. You've had babies in 3 different hospitals. By just one man.
They asked her address, of course they live where they live right now, through all of them. But they asked her, said, did you live at this address? Said, we got to put down the address you lived at when you had these kids.
Right.
Looked like you had these kids.
Yep. So,
I
pulled a quote from the Invisible Union where Brother Brown says almost the exact same thing, but he's not talking about a birth certificate. He said, your old union has been done away with. So in other words, right now, being standing here, I can see that my birth didn't come from Peggy and Samuel Dale in Gainesville, or it was Hall County Hospital back then. Hall County Hospital on January 26, 1960. That was my natural part. I've been separated from that. Now my new birth has a birth date on it.
Well, the union,
December the 17th, 1998.
The union of their natural parents is gone.
Yes. Yes, true. Well, it's just this, you know what, Brother Brown said, God put it in the sea of forgetfulness. So he's not even remembered that you're married, he don't even remember that you were born.
That's
good. But he don't remember.
If he put it in that sea of forgetfulness, he will not remember.
That just blows my mind.
He don't remember either that.
That's what you don't know what you got.
These kids wasn't born.
Mom, wait a minute.
I said, that's the type of Anna and them don't even remember.
Absolutely.
And these kids do not
that's
remember
right.
all that 7 years that Thomas lived. That's gone.
Well, see, that old union's
gone.
That's
gone. That's a type.
It's just like Jim said, just like the mom and dad never, that mom and dad never existed.
Right. I just said it just blows my mind when I think that God can't remember something.
That's what he said.
I know.
I believe it, but
it's like,
so who brings it back up?
We do.
Me, you, devil.
Did Brother Branham say if someone's forgiven for something and that if you bring it back up, it's on you?
It's on you, yes. Well, he says covered by the blood. That's why he says when people come up to the prayer line, he said if they've confessed that, he said it's under the blood. He can't pull it out or he can't see it. And God can't see it anymore. See, that's what we got to... To me, the end time, now here we are, that we know where we came from, what we're doing here, where we're going. There's no Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal going to stand in the pulpit today and tell you and can be able to track your genealogy and your lineage. Sure, you go to church as a Baptist today and they say, okay, you were saved. God come in and filled you with his spirit and now you're a Christian and you live a Christian life. Well, that's about all you hear.
Yeah.
Right? That's about all you hear. You don't hear that old thing that you did is dead, that God can't even bring it back up.
Right.
But praise God, we've had one that can fill us in.
That's right.
So we'll get into that this afternoon because I want to bring a little bit about adoption because remember, like we were talking about last night, in that fourth seal that we're in now, you have to come to a full stature, you have to come to adoption, you have to come to a resurrection and a body change. All in that fourth seal because we're gone after that. So we must cover, like today, we're going to cover spiritual death, part 2. But I was thinking this morning, you know, to be a resurrection, there has to be a death.
Yes.
Yep.
You can't resurrect a live person.
Right.
That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection. It's coming from me. That's why then I got to thinking a little bit more. See, some of y'all are going to sleep second service, so I'll go and tell you now. So that's what God took back with him. God took back when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He took that with him. Because there's nobody been resurrected to eternal life until the end time.
Huh. Hmm? That's
good. Nobody. But that who was he? He was the Son of Man. That man standing there that said, I am the resurrection and the life, at that moment was the Son of Man. But his body had not been changed yet. But when he come out of that tomb and he said, all power. Pay attention. So we've got to stand in our natural dead body, in our natural getting old body, and say, that's the only way you're going to get them dead saints out of the ground. Because remember, the Bible says, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise
first.
Jesus was dying in his body when he said that. When he said, I am the resurrection. His body was dying. He looked 50 years old, right? So that proves that it can happen. Because he called Lazarus out of the grave being standing in a dead body. But now when he come out of the grave, he said all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. In other words, this thing has no more hold. This thing has now been glorified. Because I always had a problem with me standing in a dead body and be preaching the word, and all of a sudden the resurrected saints come walking in the door because of not me, but because of what we believe and preach.
Right.
All over the world. It'll be a worldwide resurrection, okay? So it'll be a worldwide sweeping, to me, a worldwide revival inside of us to be able to bring somebody dead out of the ground, God change their body, and me be standing in a dead body. I never understood that till yesterday, or the last night, or this morning sometime. When I pulled that scripture up that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He told Martha, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Well, he was standing there, he looked 50 years old when he wasn't but 30. He was dying. He was tired. He wept. So that's exactly, see, he's our example. Everything he does is an example of what we're going to go through, because he's coming back. I'm sorry, he is back. To do what he didn't finish. He didn't finish. Remember Brother Brown said? Remember Brother Brown said, when he left, he wasn't finished.
Right.
He's got to finish it in the bride. Because he didn't bring all the saints out of the ground. He didn't even have a saint to bring out of the ground. Hello? Not one in the kingdom he didn't. There wasn't nobody in the kingdom until the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Okay? So.
So you're saying in this body, we're going to be doing what now? Say that.
We're going to speak the resurrection, and the dead saints are going to come out of the ground. By what we, no, we're not going to go out to the tomb and go, hey, come out of the ground.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like everybody, you see a pile of dirt.
Right.
No. It's a secret. So they're just going to, hey, if that body, if that real body of theirs is in the sixth dimension, which is their soul, that's the real you. This thing down here is already rotted pretty much, and some of them it's already gone back to the dust. And it ain't even in a casket, because some of them got eaten by lions and blah, 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 you understand? But that body is going to come back into this dimension, and that thing's going to come right back together again.
Woo!
Okay? There ain't going to be no cloud or dirt, I mean, you know. And they're not going to be going, you know. No. No, I believe they're going to know it before we do. I just believe that. I believe they're in that sixth dimension now and they're moving closer to that wall. Because they'll feel the pull.
Yeah. We'll speed up, Brother Brandon said, and they'll slow down. There you go.
How easy. But it's already written. This is the love line. All right? But you got to be adopted first. You got to get into the family before any of this can happen. We can talk about this.
That's true.
All you want to talk about, but if you're not in the family of God, it's not going to happen.
That's true.
All right? The Spirit of self-bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, I'm going to finish right here and then we'll get back to that Sunday. No, won't be here next Sunday. You got next Sunday, right? No, you won't be here next Sunday. We'll get somebody.
Ryan.
Yeah, I'm Louise. Going to Mobile, Alabama. Me and my brother. We're going to Mobile. We're going to Mobile out. You following me? Look. And if children, not children, then heirs of God. Why? Because you receive Him. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be what?
Glorified
together. Okay? Those who He has justified. You got to finish this. Romans 8 goes all the way to that scripture that says, those who He has justified, He's already glorified.
30.
Did I get it?
30. Yep.
Which one?
30.
One more time?
30.
Let me do it. Heard it. That's the whole summation of 1 through 29.
Yes, Lord.
But you got to go through these steps. You've got to go through them. You know why? Because we're children. We're babies. Babies have to have structure. It's what we were talking about last night. You know, you can take 1,100 sermons and throw them out there, Brother Brandon, and say, here they are. There's no structure there. Structure is a man standing in the pulpit and going,
yes,
laying it out. We got to go. Go.
Thank you. Bottom line is we have to realize
that's right. Who we are, what we're doing here, and where we're going.